Did it a little too early, but that's fine. I started a new recording. I think we can maybe knock out games in an hour.
If you want.
If you guys are cool doing games, and we'll leave movies and TV show for next week's recording session.
If you want.
Thoughts, concerns?
If you want.
Randall. It's mostly Randall because he hasn't said anything yet.
You mean like right now?
Like, yeah, we'll do games now, and then by that time it'll probably be 10. I don't want to keep people long. Like, Brian has to go to bed, so I'm not going to keep him longer. And then next week we'll record the movies and TV show one.
Okay.
Then let's start it. Oh, I forgot to do the intro in the other video. Like, I didn't even say, well, we're an ADLR podcast, nothing. Well, here we are. Week two of our Fave Five deliberations, I guess. Welcome to the show. I forgot to introduce the first one. Oh, whatever. I was too hyped to talk about the cool shit that we've done this year, or consumed this year. Not that LaCroix, clearly. Okay, I was wondering where I put my water bottle now that you put that down. It's here. This week we're doing Fave 5 games. This might be shorter than usual because it's just one list here. We can talk about games that, you know, released earlier in the year and stuff like that, but this might be a even shorter episode than last week's. We'll just mimic what we did last week. Everyone will do one. Yeah, everybody will do one of each from their list. I'm like, did I explain that correctly? And we'll just rotate like that until we get to the top. Any questions, concerns, thoughts, jokes? No?
Shout out to Skullgirls.
And just shout out to Skullgirls. Just anytime we're talking about any games. Period. All right. 2023. In gaming. A lot. There's a lot. Too many games coming out. Period. Excuse me. Oh, and I can just throw in a PSA. Baldur's Gate 3 is not on my list. Why? I have not played enough of it to quantify putting it on here. I forgot to talk about the same thing for music. There's going to be some glaring like misses here, and it's because I never got to it. And that's the same thing with movies. We'll talk about that when we record the movie stuff. But for albums, I mean, there's just so much in music. There's not. I'm not going to get to all of it. But for games... Yeah, Baldur's Gate was a big one that I missed. I think any of the other super huge releases I think I got my hands on. But Baldur's Gate was the one that did not. So, it's going to get snubbed here, and I apologize, but it just be like that. That's all I can say. I don't know, do you guys have any glaring, like, oh, why isn't this on your list thing? Brian, you played enough Baldur's Gate, I'm sure you might put that on there, but...
Anything glaring?
Yeah, like you're like, oh, it's wild you don't have this on there. Like Baldur's Gate's that one. If you don't have it in your list, people are gonna be like, why?
I didn't play Breath of the Tears of the
Kingdom. Oh, Tears of the Kingdom. Gotcha.
So yeah, that's not Alan Wake. I didn't play or really see when you started the game, and I was over there. I frame one fell asleep.
Yeah, it's not a high. It's not a high octane. Keep your eyes on the screen. It's a slower paced survival horror, so...
I mean, you started it late as fuck.
So. And I... Yeah, that's also that, too.
I didn't play Mario. I just watched you play Mario. I didn't play Hi-Fi Rush. Maybe people were very passionate about that, but I didn't play it.
Oh, I played that. And
I think that's... That might be it that I can think of.
I can go through the stuff I played this year. Like, let's see. What release this year that I played? Hogwarts Legacy.
I forgot that fucking came out.
I mean, that's the worst thing about it. It was a solid... It's just solid. It was a solid, accessible Hogwarts game. It wasn't bad. It was just, hey, single player, once you're done with it, you're kind of done with it. The end game stuff is not really there, but the loop, they have a good foundation there. So, I mean, Hogwarts Legacy definitely came out. Resident Evil 4 remake. It's not on my list because I kind of like it's remade with some changes, but not enough where I'm like, I'm going to take a spot from games that came out this year that are doing different things, right? It, to me, it's a remake first and foremost.
Yeah, it was my first time playing Resident Evil 4, but I liked it, but it wasn't enough for me. Like, wow, top five.
Wait a second, completed. Is this not my complete list? It isn't. I think I just omitted something that should have been on my list.
Wow.
No, never mind. It doesn't reach five. No. Star Wars Jedi Survivor came out this year. Fun time. It didn't break my five. I don't know why. I had a good time with the story and stuff. The gameplay is a little better than the first one. It improved in almost every way. I just don't know why. When it came time to like, Anthony, think of your fave five, it just did not come to mind. I don't know why.
That's me with the Street Fighter VI. I liked it. I still like it. I just don't have time to play it, or if I do want to grind out a game, it doesn't really come to mind as much as maybe the first 3 months. Uh-huh. But it's rare that Capcom earns something nice from me, to be said out loud. I thoroughly enjoyed the game.
What else came out this year? Dave the Diver. That is a easily hooked game there. That is my number five, is Dave the Diver. It was, I don't know why that game got its hooks in me. So it's about pacing, probably. You do the most basic stuff of going in, diving, getting some stuff. Then you're running a sushi restaurant. Then you're running a farm to make stuff for your sushi restaurant. Then you're getting more stuff. The pacing is almost perfect. We're like, I have another responsibility. But then the loop is like, nah, don't worry about it too much. And you're like, oh, okay. So you can still work on almost everything that you're getting introduced to on a per run basis, pretty much. Comedy, mostly. Like, the story's there, but it serves to be comedic. A lot of times, like, when you discover a new dish or something that you're going to sell at the sushi stuff, there's a crazy, like, over-the-top comedic cutscene or something. It's really fun. So yeah, Dave the Diver is self-released. I'm trying to think what else is on here that may have not made it to my five. But I guess it's already started going down the list. That's my fifth one, Dave the Diver. Go for it.
My fifth is Final Fantasy 16.
Oof.
The combat's fun for a bit. It does get old, but the thing is, the packaging of the game's story, the soundtrack, and overall just fucking performances from people is chef's kiss. It's worth going through like the tedious gameplay, because I thoroughly enjoyed the story.
It's crazy you brought that up. That's another one that's not on my fave five, and that's because I have not spent enough time playing that to give it any sort of judgment. Like, I got past the beginning part where, you know, the two big guys are killing each other, and now I'm at the castle or whatever. So not enough time. Like, I've barely done a couple missions. That's why that won't be on my fave five. Anything else to add, Brent?
Not really. It's just a great story. If you have a PS5, maybe wait for it to be on sale. Because, you know, if you don't like the combat, but you paid $30 for it or something, you might be able to focus on the other things you do like.
Yeah.
With a lot of those, it's not really, it doesn't feel like a JRPG, but I mean, technically it's a Japanese RPG. A lot of times the story gets old for me, and it gets very, very predictable, and then it becomes friendship.
Oh, but yeah.
This one, it felt like a more adult take on those kind of things.
Okay, so we're not going to be running into a bunch of the same tropes, as always.
It didn't feel like it. And okay. when they do have similar tropes, it's not, like, it doesn't make you gag.
Okay.
That makes sense.
That makes sense, yeah. It's not cringe, like, okay. Mm-hmm. Our friendship helped us gain infinite power. Now goodbye, evildoer.
You know, there's definitely consequence in this.
I'm about it. Okay. I was going to add something to that. I forgot. Oh, well. Randall, is any of your lists ordered?
No.
Okay, cool. Go Cahor. Just give us.
Did you try to order it at all?
Did you try to order it at all? I'm just kidding. I explicitly said you don't have to order it, so I'm not gonna knock him for that. Go for Street it. Fighter, Street Fighter 6. Oh shit! Off the bat with a fighting game. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Nice.
Talk about
it. Who's your favorite character and why is it Luke?
He ain't Luke.
I know. It's
Jamie.
That is true. I remember you were going to town with getting drunk with Jamie.
I think they did a good job. The gameplay is really fun, and I like the character. Combos is cool. They might then simplify some things that doesn't take away from the complexity of the game, but still makes it challenging. The art is cool. Animations are cool.
Agreed. It does look flashy in motion, especially watching any tournaments and stuff.
Only thing that I don't like about fighting games in general is that they do the whole character release. Like, they'd be like, oh, the game is coming out January 26th, but 3 months from now or 6 months from now, we're going to release another character. Then another 3 months from that release, we're going to release another character. And it's like, I hate that. Why don't you just drop everybody at once?
Oh, you're talking about like the DLC after release?
You're talking about Tekken 8 specifically.
But I mean, like, Street Fighter does the same thing. Like, they released Street Fighter, but then it was like, Akamon's ain't coming out until next year. Like, that's stupid.
Wait, did Tekken already announce DLC for their stuff?
Yesterday.
Oh, is he before even it? Okay, like the Battle Pass characters?
So the game hasn't even come out yet, but yet you're telling me that there's going to be a DLC character that's not going to be available on launch day.
Yeah, because it's probably still in flight. They need to sell season passes. I mean, that's the good and bad of season passes. You get a lot more stuff, maybe, but then once you hit, hey, this is version 1.0 for this date. Anything that people are like, oh, we should add so and so, whatever, that gets added afterwards. Like, that's iterative development. So it's like, here's 1.0. We didn't have this character ready for 1.0, so now it's DLC, right?
I mean, some companies do it right. Like I mentioned, BB Tech, the game costs like 40 or 30 bucks on launch because they said, we didn't get to finish working on these characters before the game came out. So we're just going to charge you for what we did give you. And then those characters that were supposed to be in the game, that's the rest of the 15 to make it 60 or whatever.
Yeah.
And then Under Night 2, if you pre-order the game, they give you the season pass for free.
That's pretty neat.
And the game's like 50 bucks.
It's small stuff like that you win your audience.
KOF, they do a season pass out of nowhere in there. They just give you a free boss character you can play as.
What do you mean boss character?
So like characters that are bosses in previous iterations. So like Rugal. Boss rush mode added. Fight this guy in stupid to hard difficulty. Also, you could just play as him. He's free.
Neat. Okay. Yeah, I'm with you on there. I didn't know they announced DLC for Tekken already. I thought they were just showing off character. Like, I know they've been releasing character trailers. I'm like, okay, these are all the characters coming in. I don't know they were done and now announcing DLC. That's unfortunate. Anything else you want to add, Randall, to Street Fighter 6?
I think I've pretty much covered everything.
Okay.
I just haven't been playing it as much as Tekken because I've been trying to rank up, but I'm kind of giving up on that.
I mean, you got a new toy to play with in like 2 weeks, so.
Less than.
Oh, I thought he said the 26th.
Yeah, it's less than 2 weeks, though.
Oh, my God. Why did I say 2 weeks? It's only 10 days.
Freak.
Yeah. That makes sense. Okay. Let's move right along here to number 4. Blasphemous 2 is for me. Yeah, number 4. I played the first one way long back. I think Brian is the one who introduced me to Blasphemous as a series in general because you played through the first one first, right? And then I'm like, oh, Metroidvania, but, you know, a little bit a little more difficult than your average Metroidvania because it's sort of Souls-based. And the combat in the first one was okay. I think, did you have one weapon. Yeah, I'm like, I don't think you had a selection of different weapons. And this one, they upped it. They have like three different. Yeah, you have the flail, the double swords, and I forgot what the third one was.
You have regular sword, double rapier, and the big fucking ball.
Definitely, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It felt better. The combat felt better. Exploring felt better. The payoffs were usually a little better as well in this. It's just as creative as the first one. You'll see crazy images and scenes in it. Boss fights are really fun. I don't think I found many bosses where I was like very frustrated with the pattern that they were doing, or like all of it was just dope. A good old time Metroidvania with crazy art. Yeah, I think that's all I have to add. Brian, what you got for your number four?
My number four is Marvel Spider-Man 2.
Oh, snap.
Almost the exact 180 of my previous one, Final Fantasy 16. The stories where I have most conflict with this game, because I feel like it underdelivered compared to the first game. Then moments of greatness, but then the payoff wasn't worth it. But when you start swinging as either Spidey, you accidentally lose your entire day.
Yeah, the movement's still there. Like,
movement's still there. Combat. This one's buggier than the first one, but it led to like funny moments, like me getting stuck in a building. But the gameplay, the combat's just enough to where it's fun. The little check marks by doing shit around the city, as you get to swing like that. Just very fun game. Gameplay won me over for this. Just like the first game.
All right. That's fair. Randall, what you got for your number five? No, four. Sorry. Did I say five? That's weird.
Well, it's really not. Whatever. I'm just going down my list.
Yeah, I keep forgetting. My fault.
Star Wars Jedi Survivor.
Nice. Good pick. Good pick. Anything you want to add to it specifically? Or
I haven't beaten it yet.
Okay. Yeah, Star Wars Jedi Survivor is a really fun time. I think I already said it earlier when I was going through what came out. It just improvement on the first one almost every way. Number three. I'm going to go with Gunbrella on this one. It was something I had, I don't know where it was announced in some sort of like, you know, Nintendo Direct or some showcase. I'm like, oh, I'm going to wishlist this. It finally came out. It came out and I just didn't notice. And then when it came out, when I was going through my wish list, I'm like, oh, this is already out. Bought it. Runs great on Steam Deck. For those uninitiated, Steam Deck is what I call a Steam Deck. I've been saying Steam Deck now, like that's the actual name.
Did you clip that?
Clip what?
When you decided its name shall be forever altered?
Yeah, it's still, that video is still on my hard drive. Because it's part of the Neo 2 clips video I want to make, which I might just do, and then maybe separate the DLC clips afterwards, because that's kind of when we stopped playing, as once we finished the first one, and then, you know, scheduling has been horrendous, unfortunately. But for the main game, that's part of that. That's when I said the Steam Dink, I think it was. Anyway, Gunbrella, it is, it's sort of a Metroidvania in a way, without a map. Like, there's no map you can just go and be like, hey, unless I played through the entire fucking game and just did not know how to get my map out, right?
Sounds like me, brother.
But I'm pretty sure, like, I don't recall there being, like, you know how Metroid has, like, a map as you're playing? That makes sense? A HUD. Small. Yeah, like, this is none of that. But it works to its advantage because they don't, like, it's very easy to know where you're at. They make each screen that you go to like, okay, this is this place. It's structured a certain way. So you know how to get from one point to the other once you start, frequently going through these locations. Combat's fantastic. It's literally, like I said, Gunbrella. It's an umbrella that's a gun. So you can use the the umbrella portion for some crazy movement for dodging and even defensively. I think you can use the Gunbrella to like block projectiles that are coming in, and you can also swap over to, to attack mode if you want to call it that, and just start unloading with the gun, like with the weapon. You get different types of ammo. That's how you get different weapon types. Instead of, you still have the same Gunbrella, but the ammo you put in shoots different things. So you have your shotgun ammo, flamethrower ammo. Like, you have different types of weapons that way, depending on the ammo you have. And all of it feels great to just switch in between in the middle of a fight. Boss battles aren't great. Again, they're challenging, but not like, oh my god, I want to chuck my monitor into the, atmosphere. Like, okay, once you... You know, classic game design. Once you found out the pattern, you're like, okay, it's time to execute, right? And it's just dope. Super short game, too. Like, if you just sit down, you could probably knock it out in two sessions if you're just about it. And then to collect everything doesn't take long as well. I think I ended up in a... I guess the term is platinuming it for the PlayStation crowd. But unlocking all the achievements, it's not a huge time sink, which is great. Because it's a short game. That's my number three, man. Gunbrella is awesome. And it starts off in the beginning like the old Resident Evil games. When you hit start on the press start menu, it'll go Resident Evil. This one goes Gunbrella. And I'm like, yes. Classic game design here. It's great. All right, Brian. Hit us with your number three.
And number three, Baldur's Gate 3.
Ooh. That on purpose? It's not on purpose.
No, I just worked out like that.
Okay. Okay.
With the preface of I haven't beat it, but I've started this playthrough like 7 times. It's just a fun time, but it's easily immersed. You get to do whatever the fuck you want in like a fantasy world.
Mechanically, this game is very free and open.
Yeah, it's free and open. You get invested with every fucking little like interaction. The person narrating makes you feel like you're still actually playing D&D, and that's like the dungeon master.
Yeah.
Game's pretty. The characters that I've met so far, all interesting. It's funny just having a save where you just dick around and fucking speak to a rat, and the rat says it's someone hurt him, and he walks into a room and you break in. And then you murder the person, and then the cops arrest you, and then you break out of jail, and then you get murdered in the cave.
That's fantastic. That's got to be an episode of CSI somewhere.
And then someone deletes the save because they didn't like that experience at all. And then you're like, well.
I mean, that's fair. And it's also co-op. Like, a lot of stuff, all the buzz about how great Baldur's Gate 3 is, you can multiply that greatness by the party size, so
mm-hmm. By the party you keep.
Yeah.
Like I said, I haven't beat it, but it checked the right boxes for me from what I've experienced. Everything about it I've enjoyed so far.
I'm with you on that. I was just gonna add, like, this, it's the kind of stuff we haven't had since like Mass Effect when I started playing this, where like you build up your party, now you care about them, you want to build them up. I guess Midnight Suns was that for us the most recently.
Yeah, but we have Divinity's similar as well.
Okay. Anyway. All right, my bad. You done with what you got to say for Baldur's Gate 3?
Yeah.
All right, Randall, hit us with another one.
Spider-Man 2.
Okay, you said speeder, and I'm like, what game starts with speed? Okay, Spider-Man 2. Sick. Spider-Man 2 is a good choice. Did you like it more or less than the first game?
I haven't gotten far. Like, a lot of the stuff that's on my list is like stuff I just touched a little bit.
Whoa. I know what you mean. Like, you got some hands-on for a bit?
Yeah.
And you're like, yep, everything's here that I know Spider-Man to be.
Mm-hmm.
Easily. Okay.
One thing I didn't mention is I didn't play Miles, but they did a good job of catching me up.
Oh, you didn't play the Miles Morales game?
Yeah.
I think you found a way to not play as Miles in the game. I'm like, how? There's like strict, you have to play as him in this mission.
Not on my watch.
Sorry. Go ahead, Randall.
I don't know what I was
going to say. Oh, look what you did, Brian.
It's all your fault.
What? All right. All right, if you don't have anything, we can keep moving if you don't remember. Mm. Okay. Number two for me is Super Mario Bros. Wonder. I haven't had a really good 3D Mario since Odyssey way back when Switch came out. So they've been releasing some other like Mario stuff from you know, since then, but nothing like where I'm like, I gotta try it out. And I saw Super Mario Bros. Wonder and saw that it was in a different kingdom. And I'm like, oh, the Rose Kingdom? Or Flower Kingdom, I think it is. I said Rose. I have my last name. Anyway. What was I going to mention? It's a side-scrolling one. It's not a 3D, you know. What I like to call a proper Mario now. Once they went to Mario 64, a proper Mario is a 3D one, right? Personally. So a proper one is a 3D one. For the side-scrolling one, it is just a fun time. Multiple, countless levels, these guys started flexing their creative muscles in it. And it's just a funnest, part of my French, funnest fuck platformer. I didn't play in co-op mode when I first went through the, you know, all the missions here at home. But then I did get a chance to play some of it with Jana and her siblings. I think you were there, Brian.
Yeah.
Yeah, didn't we play a bit?
I didn't play any of it. I was just there.
Still really fun. Yeah, I just hope the people who are flexing their creativity here, I hope they're on the team for the next, you know, quote-unquote proper one that I'm talking about, the next 3D one, because their level design in Super Mario Bros. Has been really fun.
The art itself, the present, the art and, like, God, the audio work that they did was very enjoyable. It's so introspective.
I agree with you on that. It's Mario's level. Nintendo's level of polish goes, it's almost bar none. They might not have, like, their games might not have a lot of stuff in it, but what they have in it is polished in terms of how it's presented to the player, UX, like, these guys are doing their thing. What's up, Brian?
With the exception of Pokemon games lately.
Oh, you're right. Let me correct myself there, because I remember the compilation of horrendousness that was...
when it comes to the big three, it really feels like when it's a Metroid, a Mario, or a Legend of Zelda game, they
put in the time. They're like, let's make sure this thing is rock solid. That is true, man. That sucks for Pokemon. Because they used to be, I don't know, I'm not going to speak on them, but before it went 3D or open world, they were pretty solid. I mean, granted, it was the same, it was formulaic, but those were also like pretty stable for the most part that I know of. But then once they went 3D, once they went open world, it went to shit. And I mean, it could be because of the platform.
Maybe.
We'll see. Did I already just say? Yeah, it says Super Mario Bros. Wonder for number two. Brian, what is your number two?
Number two, Darkest Dungeon 2. The 1.0 this year. Let me tell you something. I like to unwind by winding up. Apparently, my go-to to relax is to play a game that's stressful as fuck. And boy, I put hours in the Darkest Dungeon 2, and I've loved every second of it.
I did
the most simplified version of the first one.
Oh.
But they streamlined it in all the right ways. And it's just, I fucking love that game. I haven't finished it yet, and I'm contemplating getting the DLC. And I'm also contemplating just buying it again on Steam, so I don't have to load up Epic Games. But I love the aesthetic. I like that they gave characters backstories that you can actually kind of play through. And in a sense, I like the way that you unlock abilities now, and that a lot of the things you get per character isn't like in one instance and then that guy dies and you have to do it again. Stuff that carries over to the next run.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy a lot about it. I haven't found a class that I hate yet. A lot of them are returning.
Are you looking for one?
I'm not looking for them, but if I find them, I'll make them know I hate them.
Oh, okay. We'll save it for the video of you cursing out your character.
But I just thoroughly loved it. I loved the first one. But this one, I think they optimized and streamlined as it should have been.
I haven't put enough time on it. I played it, I played one run, the tutorial run, I think it is, on the Steam Dink. And I'm like, okay, I can see it opens up with, hey, this is not for a good time. It gives you a paragraph of like, hey, man, this game is not good, stuff is not going to happen here. And I'm like, oh, okay, thanks. And then it goes right into the tutorial, like, run that you do on the thing. I'm like, all right, so it lets me know right away, do not hope for the best. Got it.
All right.
But I haven't played enough to, like, give my own two cents on it. Art style is definitely dark, and it looks like you're going to be going through a lot of dungeons. So it's on point so far. All right, Randall. Unless you have something else to say, Brian, about Darkest Dungeon.
No, I like it.
Okay.
Like, I liked the first one. I love the second one.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Is it like the Little Big Planet 2 syndrome, where like the first one was really cool and then the second one came out and you're like, number one was a beta?
I guess a little bit of column A, column B.
Oh.
I think I can't even compare it. I was going to do Borderlands 1 to 2, but not really. It's like it had a solid idea with the first one. And there's not really anything I can complain about. But after playing the second one, there's changes that they made that I love way more than what they did in the first one.
Sometimes the quality of life changes trumps it. Like, or it leans it toward, it favors the newer stuff. That's kind of what happened with Borderlands 2. Like, Borderlands 1 was fine. Like, it even had weapon proficiency stuff. They removed some stuff and made it more streamlined in 2, and that's why 2 was just, like, so solid. Okay. Randall, hit us with one more.
Phantom Liberty.
Oh, Cyberpunk's expansion. Phantom Liberty. Yeah. Sick. Idris Elba on there. Introduced to Songbird. A lot of it is kind of folk, kind of fixed on Songbird's story. So you meet Songbird, and then throughout her story, you run into Mr. Idris Elba. Yeah, I was gonna add an R in his last name, and I'm like, that's not right.
Knuckles is his name.
Knuckles now, from now on. Idris Knuckles Elba? Okay.
That's what it is.
That's fair. Okay. Anything you want to add to the game, Randall, or no?
I don't have a comment, but I got a question.
Okay, go for it.
Do you guys think that they've lived up to their hype before the release? Or do you think they're still falling short?
Who's they? I'm sorry, I don't know what. The game, the whole Cyberpunk 2077 yeah. game, or?
Yeah.
They've cleaned up, if that makes sense. But I'm sorry. I guess I don't know what you're asking. Have they been abolished from their sins?
You know the hype there was before the release of the game, right?
Yes.
All the way up to the release, the hype on what it was going to be like, how it was going to look, how it was going to play, all of that stuff.
Yep.
And then it came out, and it wasn't exactly that. With all the changes and updates and expansions, do you think that they've met that?
Have met that initial hype.
Yeah, met that initial hype. Or do you think they're still falling short?
I don't. I just wanted what we have now to be at release. But since the release was so bad, like, no. Because, I mean, you have an entire arc of getting to know Jackie, and that's sped run. Just so you can lose spoilers. You can lose they rush through that part just so you can lose Jackie and start the open world section where you could have just had, you know, a section of the game where he's just someone you call all the time or something, like build up the relationship, and then halfway through this, I don't know, they move Jackie out of the way so fast so you can get Keanu in, right? And I'm like, maybe that might have been the issue. Like, let's get Keanu Reeves, who's a huge star, into this game and throughout the most of it, so you can be like, oh, it's a better sell, I think. But I don't know. I think that squandered the come up in Night City. Because it didn't matter what background you chose, unfortunately. Like, you still have the same speedrun cutscene of you and Jackie grinding up. I think you should have played through that and gotten to a point. Then the mission goes sour. You lose rep, and then you, like, I don't know. To answer your question, to keep it short, no, I don't think I don't think they've made a 180 turn. They made like a 140, 120, like much better improvements. But it's not what I was expecting. Even now, it's not what I wanted it to be. But that might have been because of expectations.
On launch, the gameplay was fun. My only gripes were that it was buggy, to which, I mean, they're caught up. Gaming's fine for me now. But the narrative was just meh, it existed. And coming from what they've done before, the two Witcher games, I was expecting better storytelling, better pizza, but it kind of just existed. Even then, like, using Witcher again as an example, world building in Witcher 2 and Witcher 3 is chef's kiss. And they didn't really build Night City to be anything but a loud intro. It would have been cooler if it was more alive, if it felt like one cohesive world that they fleshed it out, but it kind of just became kind of just like a meme.
I do recommend people play. If you have never played Cyberpunk 2077, this is the time, because they're done with it. They're not making any more expansions, nothing. This is as good as it's going to get. And graphically, they went far. They went way above and beyond. Now you can have that the path tracing mode enabled. Everything looks fantastic in that game.
I haven't started the DLC, I should say. So what I say narrative wise has to do with base game.
Oh, that's fair. I hope that answered your question.
Yeah, it did.
Alrighty. And number one on this
fight. By the way, that was my last game. I didn't have any more after that.
Okay, so that's fine. If you only had... Okay, then I'll just do Brian's and we can just keep talking about games if you want. Or
you can add a game on there, Randall, actually, if you ended up liking it. Didn't Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles come out last year?
Oh, Shredder's Revenge. Yeah, it did.
I lied, 2022.
Duh, Brian, it was 2022.
That's just exposed, Anthony.
I'm yeah, sorry. It really was. You did expose me just now. Where is it? On my list here.
2022.
Shredders. No, but it's not even on my how long to beat list. That sounds terrible without fucking context. There's a website called howlongtobeat.com, and it's just a tracking game information, like how long it takes to beat you. You can make a list for backlog. Yeah, I had to clean that up because that sounded ridiculous out loud with no context. Anyway, yeah, that's all I have to say. Shredder's Revenge was in 2022. Time is passing us, bro. What the hell? Anyway, what the hell are we talking about? Oh, number one, fave game of 2023. Alan Wake 2 for me. And this is huge because I played the first one, didn't get too far in it because I could not. I just could not. The gameplay in Alan Wake 1 was just not. I don't know why. It just did not connect with me in any way. It might have been because I was, you know, younger and just wanted to shoot shit. I don't know. It just didn't work. Didn't connect with it. I didn't get it. Alan Wake 2 with the graphical bump, the pacing is slower, like everything. It looks like it's purposely cinematic in a way, but it still has survival horror like mechanics in it. It looks great, sounds great. The combat has been, like Brian mentioned with like first games and their sequels, it's tightened up here. It's quality of life stuff. You don't have to like manage that much meter in terms of like the flashlight stuff. It's, hey, you just aim at the thing that needs the flashlight. It takes up a section of your battery. Instead of you just holding it there, hoping that some shit happens, like in the first game. I don't know. Anyway, between the aesthetics are fantastic. The, what is the term? Like, not the function, like the vibe, like, I don't want to say vibe because that's not the word I'm looking for. The atmosphere is the word I was looking for. The atmosphere in the game is all horror and executed. Yeah. Brian, it was the atmosphere. Thank you. That's what it was. It's spot on. Survival horror to the fullest. Third person game. That's a game with sprint, and I promise you, most of the time I just walked everywhere.
That's not new to this game though.
No, but I don't think you understand. Because most of the time, like like in the games I forget to sprint, it's like I forgot to sprint. Here, I'm purposefully not sprinting because I'm like, everything looks great. I played this on console, by the way. It looks even better on PC. Everything looked great. The animations of walking and stuff. And I pretend I'm watching like a Twin Peaks type of show and shit. Like it's awesome. There's awesome sections in it too. What everybody knows the sequence. I think it's called We Sing.
Oh, I know, because of the Game Awards.
Because the Game Awards spoiled the shit out of that for everybody. So thank you for that. That's something you should not be putting on. Anyway, we're not gonna get on that. That's a surprise the game should have given people. Not, hey guys, this is why we like it. Then perform it on the stage. Anyway, that's part of like you get to play as two different characters. One of the characters you get to a chapter called We Sing, and it's just an excellent moment. I'm like, what is happening? There's other moments like that throughout the game where there's more combat involved. So you'll have like crazy rock in the background, almost like Doom Eternal levels, and you're just taking out shit. The thing has range. There's parts where it's like super like creepy stuff. You're like, what the fuck's going on? There's high action in it. There's not a lot of dramatic parts in this. So there's not like emotional people like losing it and stuff. You're like, you know, oh my God, no, Gwen. Right? So, what are we talking about?
Gwen.
That's my favorite of the year was Alan Wake 2. I do want to shout out, before I hand it out to you, Brian, Diablo 4. Because it launched and we played a bit of it and it kind of collected dust. And then over like the Christmas break and a little bit before that too, it just put its hooks in me. And now I just cannot stop playing it. And want to continue playing it. It didn't make my fave 5 of the year because it was like a late edition. Like, oh, it's more Diablo and it hasn't been... I don't think the changes in it warrant a spot on here, in my opinion, but shout out to Diablo 4. Something that it came out and I'm like, oh, it's fine. I just continue to just nonstop playing it with different characters and stuff. Brian, you're up. You're number one.
My number one, if I'm going to shout out anything, it's a year of roguelikes and Metroidvanias. So 9 years of Shadow isn't my number one. It was a game I played earlier in the year and I enjoyed. Very simple Metroidvania. Shout out to Death Must Die. The game's not out yet, but Early Access started last year. And boy, when I played that, I accidentally lost a lot of hours.
It happens. Roguelikes do that to you.
Same thing with, did this 1.0 yet? Wild Frost? It did. At the end of the year, I was gifted this for either my birthday or Christmas. And it's like Slay the Spire, but also team comp. You make like a deck with actual heroes, and then you do stuff. Accidentally lose like 12 hours of your day. Those are runners or honorable mentions. But my number one fave game in 2023 is Blasphemous 2.
Oh, okay. You put it at your top spot. Okay.
You ever beat it twice in one weekend? Because I did.
No, I beat it once and then started a new playthrough and I'm like, okay, I'll get through this. And then other games came up.
Bro, the first game, I loved it aesthetically. For Souls games, what I do like is the aesthetic of it. And Metroidvanias, aside from roguelikes, are my addiction. And the first game alone was like, what the fuck am I playing? Why can't I stop? This, more of the same, but with more options of how I want to play, with multiple weapons. Different builds with the statues put on. And then on top of that, putting the beads. Accidentally going one place and you see a character. And you're like, what the fuck is that?
Yep.
And then there's story behind them. And then you get like a statue or something about them. And you read their story. You're like, what the fuck? It's not the way the Darkest Dungeon lets you know. Don't expect nice things here. Essentially, that's what Blasphemous is. It's a bunch of people sacrifice this, but at what cost? I don't remember one character that didn't look cool. The soundtrack's appealing as well. The way that each like biome connects to each other in this game, it's what I praise Bloodborne on. It actually feels like one big world. The only complaint I had was that is one boss, but besides that, the designs alone are just like, it's fucking great. Putting movement options or like backtracking into the weapons themselves was interesting to me, as opposed to just, oh, I got double jump, I can do this. It was those things blended in with, you got this weapon, what's special about it? Oh, you hit this bell with it, things spawn and you jump onto them. And so kind of doing that was unique and well welcomed, considering the first game only had one weapon. I it's to the point where this game deserved way more flowers than it got, in my opinion.
I'm with you there.
To be snubbed and not be even nominated at the Game Awards. Jeff, you need to
tighten
spend
up.
Less time planning these fucking performances and more time looking at what came out this year.
Well, it's not only him. Remember, it's the board as well. Whoever's in that board, y'all need to like...
Hey, you are who you surround yourself with. And he's surrounding himself with people who aren't playing probably the best indie game that came out last year.
Whoa, chill, Ryan. Gunbrella.
And right? Skullgirls wasn't even like nominated for fucking ongoing game. I don't know too many that have been out for 12 years.
Team Fortress.
I don't know many 12 years and still getting updates.
Just Skullgirls. Oh, how old is No Man's Sky? How old is No Man's Sky? Because that's definitely getting updates, though. Maybe 6 years or something?
It came out 2016.
Oh, wow. Okay. Almost a decade. I mean,
Skullgirls older than that, but, you know, they give games that deserve their flowers any flowers. But, yeah, Blasphemous 2. I thoroughly love that game. I can count the amount of bad things about the game on like one finger. So
what is the one thing that's wrong with it?
I just don't like that last boss, the way it's designed. I feel like the only time I had to switch weapons to something specific. You beat it with the weapon that I was maining for most of the game, but it just did not feel worth it.
Oh no, from the flail? Or whatever? No.
That from like 90% of the game.
Yeah, once I got that weapon and I swung like once or twice, I'm like, that's how much damage this fucking thing does? I didn't swap. I'm like, I'm gonna learn how to fucking maneuver and like properly hit so I can backdash like immediately. Like,
the boss got me so salty. The only time I switched off was the main weapon from the first game.
Mm-hmm.
And I literally turned into Daigo.
Oh.
I treated him like Justin Wong. I had him in the corner. He tried to hit me. Parry, and I looped him in the same corner. He did not get out.
Damn.
Shit fucking irked me like Steve.
That makes sense. No, that flail was... It hits so hard, and it's the animation is like overhead until under you, so you should... Yeah, and you hit like three times. Yeah, like it hits like two or three times. So I'm like, if I just practice the jump, the distance to jump, and then the swing, it's worth it, dude. There's no...
simulator.
Yeah.
I thought I was going to main the rapier, because as a weapon itself, I usually gravitate towards that. In Souls games, I almost always start with a rapier if I can.
Shout out to your boy, Rogier.
Rogier, the realest.
The realest, bro. The
fucking Rogier, bro.
Yeah.
Randall, tell him.
Let him know about Rogier, Randall.
I don't know who that is.
It's a character.
What the fuck did you say?
Yeah. It's a character in Elden Ring.
Oh, baby boy.
Yeah, he spoilers. He passes away while you're playing it. So, but he leaves you his trusty rapier that he has, and I think it scales on like intelligence, like it's a magic
dexterity.
Is it dex? Oh, okay,
but it has some magic to it, I think. But I said, fuck all that. I'm gonna turn it into an ice weapon, so I do this, and I have the swords, and then I'm just gonna keep stabbing you and freeze you, and then I break your arm. Shout out to Rogier.
Shout out to Rogier, bro. He fought fucking Margit with you,
literally. You know how, like, if you go to the side stuff, the lady that makes you sleep, and then you fight all, like, those souls? When I saw baby boy Rogier in that,
come up,
I picked that ending. I was going to do Ronnie, but I saw him there, and I'm like, no, you can't make me fight the boy.
Yeah.
I left him for last.
Oh, damn.
And then I had to do it, and then I picked that ending. That way he doesn't die.
That's fantastic.
But yeah, Blasphemous too. I don't remember who that. What's the name of the company that made it? But Chef's Kiss.
Oh, yeah, I forgot the devs' name, but shout out to the devs.
The Game Kitchen or Team 17?
Team 17 probably published it. The Game Kitchen. Yeah. Game Kitchen is probably the one. Yeah, shout out to you guys. Excellent game. Oh, another. I don't know if it's going to be a glaring omission, but another huge release this year was Starfield. It wasn't even close on my Fate 5. I did most of the main campaign, all of the side factions campaign, like quests. Once I was done with that, man, I was done with the game. There's spoilers on the game. Like, when you finish the game, you can start a new game plus, and it's pretty much you coming back as one of the things, as like one of the time travelers people. And then if you do it enough times, different things change in your story and stuff like that. I'm like, why you get to your game? I was already upset. I was like, I'm done. I'm done here.
When I saw my Steam year in review and I saw that was my fifth game, I out loud sighed.
Because you were like, I really got to play more shit. Yeah, Starfield did not. I mean, I played it to completion. You know, to like, I don't know what completion is on an open world game like that, but, you know, all the quests that you could possibly do. Not possibly do. I'm like the faction ones, you know what I mean? And just, no, I was done with it, and it came and went. And you could, I could have been like, oh, that's right, it came out. That's kind of the attitude. When I was trying to gather my games here to make the Fate 5, I'm like, oh, that's right, that did come out. That's kind of the attitude for that.
Same boat as Hogwarts for me, but with more disappointment, because for years I've been saying, give me Skyrim in space. So I have extra, I think that's what I wanted them to make, like a Skyrim, but in space.
Uh-huh.
And I got kind of, they made space.
That's true.
But no, I don't want it.
I do also want to shout out, Remnant 2 was really fun. We finally hit credits on that. And Lies of P. There's not a lot of cool like devs out there that can clone the Dark Souls formula and still, you know, and not make it weird. Like, oh, we're doing the same, but we're doing this weird different thing. And then just, it's different just to be different. Lies of P, I love the world. I like the enemies you fight. The bosses had cool patterns. The animations were dope. Music was fantastic. I think that's about it. And it, yeah, I just like playing through it was really fun.
Aesthetically and sonically, but
yeah,
it was a bigger offender of the things that I hate about Souls gameplay.
No, throughout or near the end? Because near the end it got crazy.
Throughout.
Oh, and for me it was fine. Point where,
why even make them animating? Stop moving. Just make their legs constantly move to make sense as to why he slid 7 blocks to hit me with this move.
Oh, like the, okay, that's what you mean, like the tracking and the sliding of the animation.
Was to the point where I was fucking heated.
Oh my gosh.
Like things about it, aesthetically, songs are chef's kiss. A lot of the characters are interesting. I like the mechanic of essentially crafting your weapon.
Yeah, that was it. And being able to break it apart and put different hit like handles on it with different properties, they did a really good job with that.
I like that. I like having a gun as an arm. I'm torn that they separated the landmine and the gun.
Yeah.
It's two different arms.
I mean, they have to balance, right? If you had the gun and landmine, you can be playing, what's his name? Arthur at this point. Or Rocket Raccoon from Marvel. Like, you could be dropping bombs and then chucking swords. Like, it would be broken. No one would get in. I guess bosses, because they don't really have hit.
They'll slide stagger. In trying to hit me 7 blocks.
That's what I'm saying.
Stagger bosses.
You're right. What am I talking about? You can't stagger bosses. Yeah, you did.
I had to fucking the rocket powered hilt, but the, you know, the boy got the wrench.
Obviously.
And that's how I got the most of the game.
Sick.
Actually, I beat it with that.
Okay, that was your final loadout? Like your final. Okay. Did you max the weapon in terms of like leveling it? Okay. Sick. I think that's it. That's all I got. That is our Fate 5 games of 2023. We are approaching time here. I guess for the people listening to this, you won't notice a difference, but we're going to be, you know, each week a different, what's it called? So next week it should be the movies. We'll end on movies. We'll have probably more to talk about there because there's a lot of stuff I haven't seen. And I guess it gives us more time now. Give us an extra week to fill out that list if we haven't already. And that's it. Thank you guys for watching. Hopefully we have another good year of games, even though it is looking pretty stacked this new year already, the first 3 months. So, and there's a rumor Switch 2 release in 2024. So
what is quarter 2?
Depending of fiscal year or just regular year?
Just tell me both, and then I'm going to go with whichever one's sooner.
All right, so fiscal year Q4 is now of 2023. So Q1 of the fiscal year starts in March. Then 3 months from there is Q2. So March, April, May, June is Q2. fiscal year, if I'm not mistaken. Someone in the comments correct me. And then the non-fiscal year, you know the sections. It's divided by three, so January, February, March is Q1. And then the fiscal year of Q1 starts in March because it's like offset for a reason. I forgot the business offset. Reason. Yeah. Does that have enough information, Brett? Or do you have like a speculation on when something's coming out? Or?
No. I know from the Hades Discord, the Hades 2 is going to be playable quarter 2. I just need to know when I'm going to throw my wallet at the screen.
They just say just Q2 of the year? Then that's going to be in starting March. You can start getting your wallet ready. So just throw. Because most people, like, if they mean fiscal year, they still say quarter two fiscal year or something. But usually if it's in a trailer, like, you're talking about, like, the Hades trailer where it says Q2?
No, I'm talking about directly in their Discord.
Oh, then yeah. If it just says in the Discord, it's probably... So start looking for it in March. At the end of March. Sorry, January, February.
All right, so here's...
Yeah, at the end of March. So, yeah. January, February, March. Hey, learn your calendars. April is when you need to start looking.
And so let me tell everyone right now, even the viewers, I know we have another video of our best of. Any plans that I make from here until April, to put an asterisk next to them.
That makes us fair. You mean past April, or once April starts?
When April starts, whatever plans we have.
Yeah, it's
just know that they're liable to change.
The RSVP might switch. You might get a follow-up RSVP saying, no, I will not be attending.
I'll be there, and I'm like, oh, I'm sick, and then I'll leave.
Just cough. Like, all right, guys, bye, I'm sick. As you remote start your PC from where you're at, so by the time you get there, it's loaded and updated and ready to go for Hades. That's fair. I don't think I have anything else. You guys have any other games or dev stuff you want to shout out before we wrap this? Wrap up this year of gaming?
I played it late, but... the new version of Granblue, they refreshed it enough that it reminded me why I liked it initially. So shout out to them.
Okay. Excuse me. Man, I'm getting gas for no reason.
Shout out 2023, because that's when Black Dahlia was playable in Skullgirls.
You say you don't mean it, right? You said she was fun, but you
definitely... No, I waited over a decade to play her. I'm not dropping her. Even if I hate her, she's gonna stay on my team.
Sorry, I did not ask. Is she part of a multi-person team, or you just do single Dahlia against?
Oh no. I'm gonna make a team. Okay. So far, last time I played, I was doing Black Dahlia and Squiggly. So either I'll stick with them or just find a third. Third will probably be either Paris or Cerebella, depending on how I want to build the team. I want more meter, actually, or Peacock, cause gun.
Gun. Yeah, I'm gonna say you can keep people away with Peacock. She does not stop shooting shit at you.
She builds good meter as well, so maybe
that sounds like you got your answer.
The options.
Okay, because I forgot you can hate fighting games. You can just mix and match the amount of people and it scales appropriately. Wow, that's crazy, right? That you can do that with numbers.
Is that a new idea? Wait,
yeah,
it's been a thing for 12 fucking years.
Yeah, dude. Anywho. It's a weird flex right there. Come on, fighting game people, get it together. Where's my Tekken Tag Tournament where I can just do one to two people to three people in my team? That way I can hit you guys with Steve's fucking hands. I don't even have another character. You maybe do it
January 26th.
For real. I already have it bought. I'm waiting for it to get the key.
Same.
I gotta install and play it. There's no way I'm gonna add this to the bought and forgotten list.
Are you going to do one of your tournament things?
We might have to do that, but it might be online. Like, we'll just do a lobby here and record it that way. It's easier for production, if you will, I guess. Anywho, that is it. Thank you, guys. We'll be back next week to close this out with our favorite movies of 2023.
And shows.
And shows. Sorry. Movies/shows. My apologies. And that's it. Thank you guys for watching. Bye.